I hope you, Dean Snyder, will allow me to say one thing. I don't mean to sound like our man in the AAUP, but it seems to me that about academic freedom, there can be no buts, there can be no limitations. It exists, and any infringement on it becomes an absolute infringement. And I don't mean by that to question your commitment to the position. I'd like to raise one question that all of you touch on, but raise it in more absolute form and ask you simply what your response is. Both Dean Girard and Dean Snyder have referred to the resistance of the university to change, to its tendency to be compelled by a social situation into a response. Gentlemen, is it possible for a university to change under its own volition, or is a university fated to have its change determined simply in response to society? As I recall it, at least, this is a claim that President Kerr made about the multiversity, that it was not a choice between reasoned alternatives, but a determined fact.
And now Dr. Richard Basedon, Director of Extension at the University of California, Irvine, and organizer of this first conclave, has some announcements to make.
I hope that applause was for the very fine job that our panel has done here this morning. Much has been said this morning about the role of the university and its faculty in the area of creating new knowledge. The students at UCI are being asked today to assist in a project, the aim of which is precisely this, a research project which is involving several universities around the country in an effort to find out a little bit more about university students and what they're thinking about and doing. And for the purpose of describing this project to you, I would like to introduce an associate, a professor of sociology from our fellow new campus of the University of California at Santa Cruz, Professor Dennis McElrath.
I bring you greetings from the 662 undergraduates at Santa Cruz, where it's smog free and the surf is up. I also bring you some a chore that I hope you'll help us with. As you know, this year we have at least two, and perhaps a third campus further south, that have begun, started out, and picked up their students and began to teach them and let them interact with one another. And this means that we have, it seems to me, an unusual opportunity to start at the very beginning of two institutions whose from the conception of these, the original conception of them, are very different. Santa Cruz is committed to a college program, each separate colleges with different emphases in each college and different living arrangements, most of the students living in with preceptors and so on in the colleges, whereas I gather you're up to something quite different down here. So this means then that we have two different sorts of structures, sorts of social organizations that are going to try to take you through the next 4 years and to take us through the rest of our lives, I guess, the faculty. And so we started to wonder, well, what exactly would this difference between the two structures and between this and other structures that we'll be developing later on make in the ways in which students come to develop their own set, their own what we'll call a student culture, their own set of beliefs, norms, values, attitudes, and more precisely, what difference does this structure have on the kinds of attitudes about academic life, about academic subjects, about courses? What kinds of impact will these two structures have, these very different structures have, on the choice of major? Most students change their major someplace along the line. A large proportion of them do. Do these different ways of organizing education influence this? Will they influence the direction of the change of the major? How many people do change their majors? Do these institutions, these different organizations, affect career choice? What field you go into when you get out after this deferred adolescence or delayed growing up? What about intellectuality, attitudes toward intellectuality? What is an intellectual? What's the conception of an intellectual? How do these different structures affect the way in which we conceive of the intellectual, what he is? And finally, how do these different structures affect the political participation of the students? The more educated people are, the more likely they are to participate in politics and every level of state, federal, local government. And we are getting more and more people educated. It seems then that we should at least look to see if these different structures affect the way in which people participate in politics, their attitudes about political participation. Now, I personally doubt very much if the structures themselves are going to make that much difference. So I hedged my bet. I think it's going to be that whatever happens to you, whatever changes, study these ideas, to look at the different campuses. We are asking students at Santa Cruz and here at Irvine to complete a questionnaire which will apprise us, at least at this point in your career, of the various attitudes and values and so on. And then perhaps later on we can come back to you and ask you the same sorts of questions and see how, if you've changed, and if so, in what directions, and so on. We'll follow this through then with a series of questionnaires over the next few years and across this campus and at Santa Cruz and at many other campuses across the country.
And now we move to one of the student discussion groups in a classroom following the general session. This particular discussion group being directed by Dr. Harold Moore, Assistant Professor of Chemistry, and John E. Smith, University Librarian.
Discussing some of the university policies in connection with our conclave on what exactly is a university. One topic that comes to mind concerning university policy, at least, would be the policy that we have here at Irvine concerning pass-fail option. The student is allowed to take certain courses on a pass-fail option. I'd like to get some feeling from the various members of the group here how they feel on this particular subject.
Well, my name is Chuck Smith. I'm a freshman, and so far my major is political science. And to restate what I said before, it's a rehash. I thought that possibly there may be a little taking advantage of by some of the students on this pass-fail option, and that possibly the administration or the faculty itself could bring in some encouragement for the students to not just get off with the least amount of work in a class and still pass it, but instead to do their best and try to do their best so they develop a fairly good-sized knowledge in these divisions outside their major. As I said before, I thought that there were bound to be some students who would be more or less taking advantage of this option and just getting by with the least amount of effort, and that it is actually a good policy, but that it's too bad that some people may take advantage of it, and possibly there should be some encouragement, some not edict, but just some general incentive for the students, some encouragement for them to not just take advantage of it, but instead to try and do their best so they are able to generalize their knowledge in the outside divisions, so that then when they do begin to specialize, they will have knowledge in other fields, so that they won't be so much of a specialist, which has been criticized very much.
Well, I think the advantages of the pass-fail are such that people are going to want to keep it, and this is why I think, well, for me, that the pass-fail is an advantage, and I'm going to work just as hard under the pass-fail as I would if I were working for a grade, but my graduate school and my upper division work, well, the grade averages will come out better, and I'll just want to keep on taking pass-fail on courses that I need, so I'm not going to do anything to get rid of it. Oh, my name is Linda Sly, and I'm a freshman.
Well, my name is Peggy Steinhaus, and I'm a freshman. And I think it's partly up to the professor of the individual course to encourage the students to be interested in the way that he presents the material. He will get the students to be interested enough to not just try to get by with a D minor.
Well, all of you as students, I think, have a much closer feeling as concerning this pass-fail option. Do you, with your associations with other students, do you think that this people taking advantage of this particular program is really a serious thing? Do you think that there's a lot of talk around campus of here's an easy way to get a requirement out of the way, or are most of the students accepting this with a good conscience and
Well, my name is Susan Schinkel. I'm a freshman, and I'm taking a math course under the pass-fail basis. And I know I'm working just as hard in that course now as if I was working for a grade, because somehow it seems like such a good deal that it would just be a shame to waste my time in class, not trying to get all I could out of it, even though I know I'm not going to come out with some tremendous grade. I'll still be getting the knowledge out of it.
I'm John Smith, a university librarian, and I know that there's one student here who has not spoken up who does think that students in general do take advantage of this and see it as an easy way out.
Yeah, well, some guys that I've talked to figure that they've got to get a certain course out of the way. Well, for instance, this one guy I know is a physics major, and all he lives and thinks all his life is math and physics. And he doesn't give a darn about fine arts or English or music or drama or any of that stuff. But he has to have one of those courses on this 633 system that we have. So he just figures that he's going to go to this course and sit there, listen to what the guy has to say, and then pass the test, and that's all. And he's going to spend his time doing math and physics and not messing around with art. So there are students that are taking advantage of this.
Well, I wonder if that is taking advantage. Is that morally wrong? Isn't he absorbing a lot under that?
I think they'll get a lot out of it, even if they don't try very much. They're still getting a lot out of it. Just, I think it encourages students to try other fields, as it's been said, and they'll still get something out of it just from being exposed to it.
I agree, and also, some of these people go into courses that they think they don't like and they don't know anything about, and may end up that they really enjoy the course and they may decide and switch and take more courses in those fields.
Well, one thing that we have to get straight is, what do we mean by taking advantage of the course? Now, you see, what I just said was in accordance to what I thought taking advantage of the course is. He's just going to sit there and just pass the test. That's all he wants to do, is just pass the test. Now, that's what I call taking advantage of it. Now, not taking advantage of it would be sitting there and trying to absorb every detail you can and do the best you can. He's not going to try to do the best he can. All he wants to do is pass the test and get the course requirement out of the way. Now, that's what I call taking advantage. Now, this, we have a discrepancy in definition here then. We're talking about different things.
Well, I think that one of the points brought out here is a very important point, and that is of this option at least gets a student to take the class. Now this is, I think, is one of the best points of the option, and that's whether the student takes advantage of the course or not. It at least subjects him to the knowledge, and if to pass that class, he's going to have to absorb something. He's going to have to absorb maybe just the minimum, but he's going to have at least so much to pass this class. And I think this is one of the main points of this pass-fail option. Because it seems that if there were no option, I imagine there would be a lot of students that would just not care for any courses outside their division and then just start specializing from their freshman year on. And this is why I think this is an excellent policy to get students to generalize their knowledge, because actually I think we don't really need to define taking advantage of, because possibly taking advantage of would be being just doing the minimum amount of work and still passing the class. But even if a student does take advantage of a course, he is still going to need that very minimum to pass the course. And thus, he's going to have to get a bit of knowledge, just a bit. It may just be something that, one little point that he never knew before. But it will be something that he will have gotten over what he wouldn't have gotten without taking the class. And I think that's the main quality of the option.
Well, returning then to the first topic suggested for discussion by this group, was it a wise thing for the very first conclave to choose the topic, what is a university? Was it too broad, too much up in the air, too unconcrete to make sense to a beginning campus?
Well, I think it's a poor subject for a first conclave here at Irvine, because most of the student body is our freshmen. And, well, we've never gone to college before, and we don't really have any idea what it's supposed to be like or nothing to compare it to.
Well, I think the topic, what is a university, was very good, but the treatment of it was in such a general tone that for the freshmen, especially, who are just trying to learn what the University of California at Irvine is, they were completely overwhelmed by the whole topic, and I think they could have taken what is the University of California at Irvine instead of applying it to the universities in the, back in the Greek period, in the medieval period, and now, and in the future, and every other place.
I think also that it was an excellent topic because, as it was stated, the majority of the undergraduate students here at Irvine are freshmen. And I think the topic, what is a university, is excellent if it's treated right. Now, I think possibly they could have stipulated what is the purpose of the university, because then it would acquaint the students, the freshmen who have never had any college experience before, with exactly what the university is trying to do, because I am not very familiar with it. And I think the main setback here was the treatment of it, because they didn't actually delineate what the purposes of the university are. They went on, and I thought it was an excellent thing, that they excellent speeches they gave, but it rather went over my head and around my head, but it didn't soak up that much. It was, they didn't, you know, bang, 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 here are what we're trying to do.
Well, didn't anybody notice differences of opinion among the three speakers about what is a university and what the purpose, mm-hmm. modern purpose, may be or could be? I think that was part of what they were trying to do on stage this morning, but do you feel that they failed in that?
Well, one thing that bothered me was that most of us, well, maybe I'm just generalizing, overgeneralizing or something. I myself don't know what the purpose of a university is to begin with. And so when they get three professors up there who start telling me three different ideas, you know, I don't know where I am at all now. I mean, I'm completely lost, so.
That's right.
Well, I would say join the club. I think Irvine is trying to find out the definition, and one way is to try to get student participation in a definition. Mm-hmm. And you perhaps feel that this is inappropriate at the freshman level, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's inappropriate, but I think, again, it's just the way they treated it. If they had disagreed specifically on issues here at Irvine, instead of going through all the speeches about campuses all over the world and Berkeley and every place else, then we would have been able to identify a great deal more to what they said, and I think it would have been more helpful to the whole campus.
Well, I felt the second speaker, Dr. Radoff.
Radoff.
Well, his speech was good, I think, because he was more more direct. He's talking about students, and the other two, especially the first one, was very, very general, and you couldn't identify with that too well.
Well, is it that you don't feel yet enough part of the university to have felt even that the history of universities was of deep interest?
Yeah, I don't even have an opinion myself of what I think the university is or how I even like this university, let alone to put opinions on what I think they should be. And I don't even know what they are.
Would it have been a better topic 4 years out from now?
Yeah. I think so. I think every one of us has a basic idea of what the university and what any college is for, and that's to prepare a student for any certain vocation or acquire him with a knowledge so he can make his own choices on what he wants to do after he graduates. But
that's not
that easy.
No, because that's what one speaker seemed to say. But at the same time, another one seemed to say that the only purpose of a university is to just expand your knowledge and to heck with getting a you know, a job or having a vocation.
Yeah, I think this was the whole crux of the two. One opinion was that the overall purpose of the university was to prepare people and have the faculty and the students serve as contribute to society.
Well, Professor Radoff, of course, dissented from that. He said that's vocational training and not the proper role of the university. And how do you feel?
Well, I'm still kind of back with the grammar school idea of what college is like. I still thought of college as ivy covered and sororities and social things.
What fog is?
Yeah. 50 miles too far south for that.
Until I actually came here, I had no idea what it would be like. I'm still kind of overwhelmed by what it really is.
Oh, I'm not like that at all, because I've been following the progress of Irvine, because ever since they said Irvine was coming here, I've been planning on coming to this campus. But it seems that the whole idea that a school should either be an intellectual center of ideas or a vocation, you know, one or the other, is too separated, and I think they go along together, because no man is either going to concentrate specifically on ideas without making a living on his ideas, and no man is going to be able to make a living without ideas. So I think the purpose of the university is to integrate the two sides.
You think it's not purely an intellectual center dealing with ideas? It's more than that.
That would be impractical. Waste of 4 years.
It's kind of impossible to do either one by itself. It has to be kind of a mixture of both.
Well, at least we can say one thing, whether the treatment was bad or good, at least it provided us with some grist for our mill. That's one thing. Well, I was just curious to know if we could get some consensus of opinion as to the feeling that, say, an off-campus student has towards the university as opposed to that which an on-campus student feels. In other words, does the off-campus student feel that here's an institution which is more like a factory, that they can walk in one door and 4 years later come out with a degree, and as opposed to perhaps the on-campus student, which has much closer ties with the university, is much more interested in policy decisions and freedom of speech and involvement in the overall university life?
I don't think so at all, because I live off campus and I spend a great deal of time on campus because I want to be involved in student activities, and I think this is up to the student. I know there's kids over in the dorms that hardly stray from the dorms, you know, because they aren't interested in going to a biology club meeting or an orchestra rehearsal or anything, and the same is true with the off-campus students. I just think it's a matter of viewpoint and your own interest.
Well, I think that the off-campus students are very anxious to become associated with the university and identify with it, because, well, I know in several kids that I know, all your friends are gone to a different university, and you're just kind of still at home, and you want to get to be a part of the university. And the kids that live on campus, they have everyone in the dorms, and they get to know each other pretty fast, I guess, over there. But off-campus kids have to have some activities and things that will draw them to university.
I don't really think that there would be too much of the stimulus for an idea of the multiversity type thing here at Irvine, because of its size and because of the relationship of the faculty and administration to the students. There is so much, there seems like to be a very close bond between the two here. Now, in future years, when Irvine grows, I'm sure more students may begin to feel that way. But right now, in the beginning stages, I don't think it's that it should be too much of a worry about students feeling that way, because it actually hasn't grown to the proportions of UCLA or Berkeley or anywhere near the sizes of those two schools, which have seemed to become just factories for getting students in and getting them out. It seems like they're all a number, whereas here, even though we do use IBMs and everything, there is still a close tie between the faculty in the discussion groups, and for instance, at our water polo games, where Chancellor Aldrich sat right in the middle of the students. It just seems too much of a close tie between the administration and the students to develop a feeling like that.
Yes, and another thing in our favor is that more than half the campus lives at home or off campus, and so everyone or the majority of the people are working to establish a better relationship between the administration, the faculty, the students, and the whole campus as a whole.
Well, can we maintain this general atmosphere 4 years out when you are seniors and we actually have 5,000 student body, actually have a larger proportion of graduate students, actually have a faculty perhaps three or four times this size? Will this continue to be the atmosphere, or will it get ruined in the process?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing, that after the newness of a new university and the novelty wears off, people won't be quite so excited about it anymore.
Is that necessarily true? Does that have to happen?
Well, unless we get some things going and traditions and...
So this is really an important function for the students right now in contributing to the university.
I was going to say it becomes a very special responsibility for the first students to... Mm-hmm.
I think
we can retain this atmosphere for quite a few years if they can retain a certain tie instead of like the two big universities.